well, and all that's going on with it. Again, I want to say tonight as we look into this, and for those who are, again, downloading the archives, going to be starting a little bit late into the process, but it's the 13th, April, 2011, Shatter the Darkness live broadcast, and we are here to continue the series, Species, as we've called it this week so far, but non-human intelligences. Now, let me tell you something, the millions that are involved in the ufology, the millions that are involved in studying and interacting with New Age teaching, the books and materials and videos that are coming out. And again, I have looked at quite a few of these lately, and they definitely deal with a communication that has come from, well, entities. Now, when I say this, I'm saying that they're not what you think they are. And so we're going over what are called RK, Exousia, that was Tuesday night, and then tonight is Cosmocrator. And this is a big element in this entire ramping up of the dark side, this entire development of influencing hundreds of millions of individuals all over the world. And you might be listening tonight because you have been influenced. You might be listening tonight because you know of individuals. And I've got some emails lately here from individuals that have been into the New Age deeply. They've come out of it. They've been into psychic abilities. They've been into interaction with what they first thought were aliens. At least they were taught to believe that it was just all aliens. But then they've come to see that it was something different. So Monday night, when we went over our case, the Greek word out of Hebrews chapter 6, that's one of, at least in this section, chapter 6 of Ephesians, one of four. Now, you can call them ranks or types. I'm referring back to what Jesus said in Mark's Gospel chapter 9, in talking about powerful demonic presence in a person's life, when he said, this kind, this type, this species of demonic presence, entity, well, it can only get out or be kicked out through prayer and fasting, as he says there. So we dealt with our case, which is the idea of a high national ruling demonic presence, like a prince of Persia, principality. Now, Tuesday night, we dealt with the subject exousia, meaning authorities, and we dealt with their taking areas of the city, family lines, wherever they gain authority, wherever they gain the right, and then operate that way. And tonight, Cosmocrator, and this is big. This is big. It's two words put together, one being the word world, in the fallen sense, that these are entities, fallen world system. They're of the well, they're of the darkness, as it says there, the concept of spiritual and moral darkness. But they are also kind of a ruler. Actually, the definitive term is that they that they're mighty, that they rule, that they're like a master. They take hold of. And I liken, as I look at this term and see how it's used, it seems as though these Cosmocrators are very, very active in engaging human beings. And I'm going to go over the contact, communication, convincing, and then using lives to bring about what seems to them to be some kind of secret elitist knowledge, but really defines Luciferic agenda. Vital C. Again, tonight, just letting you know, there's been a little difficulty on our side of the fence, it looks like, and distraction. So we're hoping you're getting all this and that you will. Matter of fact, you could send an email into shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. Let me know that you're hearing live and clear. And also, we want you to know that we don't do commercials. We don't do product sales. and raising funds that way. But in order to take care of everything, we definitely have a way that many of you have asked us about. And simply, the average is a couple seconds during a live radio program. But we're just going to tell you, you can go to the website, shatterthedarkness.net, if you want to know how to invest and help and support and engage our entire project, all that we're doing. Well, you can go there and just find the support tab. It will, and you can read all about how we do that to stay out here on the field. So glad again to have you tonight. Want to mention that we have this live show at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Shatter the Darkness live broadcast. But tonight we also have late night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can find it right off the webpage. For those that understand or know Blog Talk Radio, we have a show there called The Ragged Edge. Now, that show is just been restarted in the last few weeks, and we do that on Wednesday nights from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And we have live chat that you can get into, chat room to talk and to throw out questions. You can also email questions to me privately. And you can also do call-ins. And last week we had quite a few that had called in. We've been talking with John, a former remote viewer. He's been involved in remote viewing about 6 years, and he was a paid remote viewer and trained by one of the first generation remote viewers out of the military. So this is an individual that has turned away from that. And let me say this, that in all of my study and interaction with the concept of remote viewing and where they get the data, in other words, they believe, according to SciTech, according to Ed Dames and others, that there's a source where it either taps into them or they tap into it that enables them to remote view, to kind of go out and look at places and objects and things, and they claim even the past or the future. But there is a source. And that source, as some have called it, they have called it the Akashic Records or the Collective Unconscious. Now, they know that there's interaction, and every single one that I've read so far have ended up engaging entities. And if they're engaging in the, well, the another realm, they might think, or out in the skies somewhere, they're engaging an entity that, well, it says that it's an alien or that it's a master or, as in some cases, ascended master. In those cases, they are actually engaging, most likely, these cosmocrators. Cosmocrators, again, defining them in that context. These are powerful entities that are, though, on the move. They are building the agenda. They are developing the teaching and the belief system and the ideology. It is deeply immersed in books that have been written, those books that have been read, and then materials applied to political ideology, military vision, and so forth. Well, then it gets spread to where the concept of coming globalism, the concept of an evolution of humanity to a whole new status, well, that is seemingly the primary communication that cosmocrators are giving to individuals. That's what we're going to look into tonight, some of the ways in which it occurs, and then we will look at what needs to be done in response. And I think that's a vital issue in the day that we live. Because what you and I see right now, it is literally off the charts as far as the last 2,000 years and how much influence. But again, we haven't seen anything yet in comparison to what's to come. If you've gone to the website, shatterthedarkness.net, you've seen the week that we have that we're working on right now. And that involves tonight, Cosmocrators. Tomorrow night, we are going to be dealing with a particular kind of demonic presence that brings about dark morality and maybe involved in criminal behavior and possibly in serial rapist, murder, killings, things like that. These are the kind of demonic entities that would be involved heavily in coven blood and sex rituals. So that's Thursday night. Friday night we deal with the designation planos, meaning seducing, has the idea that they're imposters, and what they're also very much like these that we're talking about, they also are involved in communicating and leading individuals specifically to write. So as I bring out this portion of this demonic array, this demonic collective, as I've called it, please understand that there's a little bit of overlapping in all of them. But there's a reason why the Spirit of God didn't just say all the demons, all the demonic entities, or all fallen angels. It is the Spirit of God that designates and gives the terms describing them. And in each of these descriptions, there is the actual effect, the ranking. And I would say this, that the entire massive demonic realm, and again, in the heavenlies, in the atmosphere right above our heads, in a sense, it seems as though this array circles the earth, that there is, as it says in Ephesians 2, a prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now operative. Now, he is the ruler of that place, that given place of authority around the world. That means over Russia, over China, over Sweden, over Germany, over the world. And that entrance came in the beginning, but it increases in the end of days as far as manifestation and interaction. Now, it's very important to understand Ephesians 2, where the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, is now at work. I've said it before, I'll say it again, that word at work, supernaturally operative in those. Again, it says there, those who are disobedient, those who do not have the Spirit of God, those who have not yet turned to the living Christ. And I have no doubt there's some listening right now. There are those that are listening right now. You've never come to Christ. You've never known Christ. You've never engaged him. You don't know him as Savior and Lord. You don't have the Spirit of God inside of you. And that's absolutely the central issue here. Because either you have been engaged by fallen dark spirits who can masquerade as angels of light, spirit guides, ascended masters, rulers, powerful beings. They can get into your life. They can, well, they'll even bring some kinds of favors and allow things and empower. They're the ones that are going to bring about counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. So it's very important that we understand what their nature is, what their ultimate goal is, how to know whether it's God, the Spirit of God, or whether it's one of these finite, fallen, or the what are called RK, or the exousia, the authorities, or these cosmocrators that seem to be powerfully operative. And I think what's really important tonight anyway is this. Back again, we brought in the Nazis quite a bit. We brought in the Himmler and even the research teams that the Nazis had in looking for all the spiritual PowerPoints and going to Tibet and engaging the ancient Aryan race. The belief that there were above in the air around that location of the world. There are many that believe there are the Great White Brotherhood, that there's a collection of ancient masters up in the air. They're powerful ancient spiritual beings that that are there as a council, that are there as in engaging humanity and bringing revelation. And most people don't understand that even Buddhists are deeply into spirits and engaging these masters. And the reason it's vital or important to me right now is because years ago, I used to sit in a temple, and I was being trained in Golden Buddha meditation. And in that training, we're taught to be in a particular position, to wait quietly, to go passive, to begin to feel the chi, the power, the energy. And eventually, these masters would start to come to us. These masters would be able to give us power in our martial arts, that they could come in and enable us and give us energy and strength and fighting abilities, that they could enhance our abilities to sense things, to know things, that we could gain from them, that we could listen to their knowledge. And if we were lucky enough, if we were blessed enough, according to the teacher that I had, a master, they would want to come inside of us. They would want to reveal things to us, but also speak through us to the rest of the group. Let me ask you something tonight, whether you have ever heard or seen somebody channel a spirit. Now, the reason I bring that up is not only have I seen that occur, but one time at a Theosophical Society meeting, I waited and waited and waited because the man continued to say he was going to channel the entities that were visiting him. Now, at that time, I was a believer in Christ. I was sitting next to, and I had brought there because this very high-powered super soldier, again, the one I talk about sometime, Fort Bragg, all these languages, powers, Psi warrior powers, remote viewing abilities, and so forth. They were there sitting next to me in that meeting here in Akron, Ohio. And we were both waiting, and of course, I was praying, and I was ready to challenge the entity and command it to reveal itself for what it was. But after about close to 2 hours, he finally just said, "It's not coming. It's not going to come through." And I really believe that, with all of my heart, I really believe that side knew not to. And that was vital because there would have been an engagement. Let me say again, in all of this, they definitely know us. They observe us. They see us. They're aware whether you are really a believer or not. And if you're a Satanist listening, and if you're a Luciferian or a chosen one, doesn't that tell you something? I mean, deep, empowered chosen ones, or deep Satanists that have real demons in them, well, they're spiritually aware of those who are real believers, who have the Spirit of God in them, and they know the presence in them despises the presence in the life of the believer in Christ. They know that at a core level, that is massive, massive, massive confrontation. And they don't want to be, they definitely don't want to be outed or in any way engaged. But the Spirit of God knows also. And let me say something to believers right now, that the more that we enter into these days in which there are so many more individuals demonized and possessed, have attachments, and they've allowed these spirits into their lives, the more that occurs, you and I have to realize we've got to be extremely open to the Spirit of God and sensitive. We've been given God the Holy Spirit. We've got great ability for discernment. And we should be able to, by the very presence of the Spirit of God, sense and know and discern what it is that's around us or what is in the life of another individual, a demonic presence. I mean, don't think that just because it's a church building, the demons in, you know, they're already in some individuals and they walk into the building. It happens all the time. And in many cases, they go undetected. And for those that are trained and to hide the demonic presence under the multiple sub-personalities and so forth, now that's even again a stronger sense of stealth as they come in and involve themselves and engage themselves as they're there to bring harm and so forth. So they love to go undetected. They love to go stealth and be able to do their stuff. But I want you to turn again to 1 John chapter 4. To every believer in Christ listening now, and I want you in Russia, and I want you in the European, you know, Union area, you really got to know, even though your cities seem oppressed and dark, and the spiritual counterfeits and alternatives all around you, please understand, and take to heart what God says, that greater is the one, referring to the Holy Spirit specifically, greater is the one who's in you than the one who's in the world. Now that's important to understand because there's a contrast going on. The whole book of 1 John is about a contrast. How to know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How to know the anointing of the Spirit of God we have in contrast to a counterfeit and to the spirit of Antichrist that is growing and developing so much around the world. Vital for us to know. Let me stop for a moment again to say 25 minutes in tonight that thank you. I appreciate the emails that have come in because we switched computers tonight. One has been, well, all I can say is totally shut off. The main computers here completely either hacked, engaged, whatever, or down. We have a number of backups and systems that we use nowadays. So I'm glad to see that it looks like we are up and everything is fine. I appreciate the notes confirming that tonight. I know that it'll be recorded and up in the archives either way. But listen, you're listening, whether by satellite or by the internet, you're listening live. And this is the moment in which God can interact wherever you're at. This is the moment the Spirit of God knows omniscience, omnipresence, every single human being listening. And where? I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that God would stretch out his hand to save and to heal and to deliver. That as believers in Christ are listening, may they be encouraged, strengthened, become more and more fearless, and greatly empowered by the Spirit of God. I've had, over the years now, New Agers and others look at me strangely in discussing with them spiritual abilities and things like that. And I'll say to them, well, listen, I've got a spirit guide. And what they mean by a spirit guide is an entity that they've allowed into their life that guides and leads and directs and so forth. They know its name. They know what it does. They know the interaction. That spirit within them warns them, leads them, always guiding them further away from God, from the living Christ, always bringing them alternatives. Those spirit guides know, though, when to get away from. A real believer in whom the living Christ dwells. Now, when I say I have a spirit guide, what I mean by that is the Spirit of God. Jesus said that the Spirit of God would come, he would teach us, he would lead us, he would guide us, empower us. So many works of the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, I have a training course up. I think there's 20 hours just basically an introduction to God the Holy Spirit and the work of the Spirit of God. I'm going to add to that series, but there's already about 20 hours up, and you can take a listen, take a look, and become very familiar with the presence of God the Holy Spirit in your life as a believer. Vital in these days, him making you aware in the midst of prayer, how to in a real sense, aim your prayers, and the Spirit of God can help you in the midst of spiritual warfare, giving you insight to what's going on around you, giving you insight to what the enemy's doing. And I think that's absolutely vital. So if you've read this week already, since we started on Monday night, Ephesians chapter 6, if you've read about how that our struggle, that our battle, that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, if you've read the instruction, we're supposed to be empowered by the mighty strength of God, and that is God's, you know, manifest, expressed power, you know, experienced not only in us but through us. I think that kind of goes with 1 Peter chapter 1, when we're told that we're shielded by God's power through faith. So God's very presence manifesting in and through the believer is part of that shielding. That's the power of God. You know, when Jesus emanating the unlimited presence of the Spirit of God, obviously, when he engaged individuals that were demonized, his presence forced demonic manifestation, forced the engagement, and of course, in every single case, he, by his authority, commanded the demonic, you know, to get out. He'd use a simple Greek word, ek, to a command. To get out. He never touched the demonized like he did when he prayed for the healing of those who needed physical healing. There's a difference. We need to watch how Jesus did things very carefully. We need to realize the authority we've been given and what can be done. Let me just make an appeal to believers listening right now. Isn't it amazing that you can have millions of believers showing up in churches on Sunday morning across the land, gatherings, where there may only be a minute, maybe 2 minutes, totally of prayer, opening prayer, prayer over the offering, prayer for the sermon, prayer at the end. Many churches, that's all there is. Some places, they have just read, they're reading prayers out of a book. Quite different than the early church, where there was massive intercession, massive prayer that involved, in the context of prayer, quoting scripture appropriately. But I want to ask this question, why is there no application of the authority that Jesus gave us to literally trample and crush and break the demonic powers, to overcome all the power of the enemy? That's Luke chapter 10, by the way. I wonder why that it is so scarcely used. One of the reasons, not appropriated. The reason for that, in many circles, the biblical discipleship application of authority that we've been given in Christ is simply, utterly neglected. If spiritual leaders have not appropriated, what do I mean? That means, Lord Jesus, I accept the authority you've given to me. I accept what you have given to me, and the reasons for that authority is to crush the dark side. It is to, whenever I engage a demonized person, not to be afraid, not to need to call someone else, but to boldly order it, command it in the name of Jesus, you know, to get out, to release the person, and that's the basics. I wonder what would be like if all the believers were highly trained in all areas of discipleship. Most believers today can't spend an hour in prayer. Most believers today have not led a person, another person, to Christ. Many can't even get into deep biblical study on their own. Some of you listening right now, you do. You sit there with your Bible open and even check what I'm saying out, and that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. When we have even counterfeit coming into the body of Christ, when we have emergent church individuals taking Buddhistic spirituality that has come from the dark fallen spirits. And now they're trying to Christianize it with Christian terms and bring it into the body and bring in kind of... And it tells me either the individuals doing this don't even know the living Christ, do not know the Spirit of God, clearly are not versed in the fullness and the power of the Spirit of God. And because of that, they bring in counterfeit. Let me tell you something very clear. The demonic realm doesn't care. They have the audacity to engage the church, to attack the church, to bring disruption to the church, to seek believers. See, this is Ephesians 6, and it's all about having the armor of God on. It's all about being able, as a believer, to stand powerfully, not to be defeated again and again and again. One of that whole array of the armor of God is the shield of faith. If you lift that up, the idea is putting your faith into every Word of God, every revelation of God in the Scripture. To believe the Word of God over against the lies, because the arrows, and they're depicted there as poisonous, you know, fiery darts. They're coming in to do massive damage, if not kill. That's the goal. In spiritual warfare, the dark side, the demonic, the entities, they are the senders, and they want to send. Now check this out right now. May the Spirit of God give discernment. May the Lord Jesus give heads up to all listening. You can stop right now, kind of kick back for a moment and say, Lord, what are some of those involuntary feelings or involuntary thoughts that have been coming to me? You realize you've got things that run contrary to the will of God, to the truth. But somehow they are invading your feelings or invading your thoughts. If you understand the idea of inception, the dark side likes to throw out communications that may come in the form of thoughts or the injection of feelings. Now they want you to think they are your feelings, they are your thoughts. Well, thoughts like, well, God's not with me. God must not love me. If I go to Bible study, nothing's going to happen anyway, so why even bother? If I open my Bible, I don't even know what I'm... You know, everything that would run contrary to the will of God, how to walk in obedience to the Word of God, and to know the Lord and grow. All of that is countered at times by simply these spirits, these entities, engaging the believer to stop them. Vital to understand, we've not been left alone. God didn't put us on a battlefield without, you know, not only the pledge of his protection. Psalm 91 is a good picture of that. 1 John chapter 5 is a great picture that the Lord would be our protector. Even Jesus praying to the Father in the garden. John's Gospel chapter 17. There's prayers of protection. But there's a reason why we've been given authority, and that is because we have been launched out into the world into active ministry, advancing the kingdom. How do you do that? By leading souls to Christ, by discipling them, by ushering out prayer over cities and over families and over nations. It's all about the churches to be advancing, advancing, advancing. Can I say it again? Advancing. We're not supposed to sit idle or to grow cold and remain the same decade after decade after cold, dead decade. Churches, Jesus spoke about the church of Sardis. It was once alive but became dead. The church of Laodicea, and it's in its own human evaluation, they thought in their own human evaluation they were doing good. Jesus gave them another heads up. The good news is he gave an offer to come back to fullness, to empowerment, to where they need to be, where they we've been called to be. If you're listening right now and you're a believer that's gone dead over the years, that's not the will of God. God's not satisfied with any believer being a spectator, sitting cold and dead, the same for years and years and years. You've been chosen in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, you've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance. Now, in all of this, yes, there is a battle. Yes, there is opposition. Yes, there is a work of the dark side as it influences the world, as it's pushing the world in education, in government ideology, in military vision, in economic stability. Everything is being pushed towards New World Order, one world, unity, all the rest. There are thousands and thousands of websites from New Agers and others where the spirits that are guiding them are communicating what it is that the dark side intends to bring about. A great chaos, then a new order. We all understand that. I don't know if we understand how close we are. I don't know if we understand that that great chaos is something of an event that'll be multi-continent, multinational, to the point that it affects the whole world. And there's no event in past history that compares to it. So if we understand what's about to occur, if billions feel it in the air, then please understand, as the Spirit of God says, Ephesians 6, your struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is against the archai, that is the rulers, powerful principalities over nations, over large regions, maybe even large cities. Also, exousia, authorities that operate underneath that rule and are involved in, I believe, they're the spirits involved in drug trade and gaining authority in areas of the city and bringing influence where they built strongholds. Now, I did that yesterday. Now, cosmocrators, they are called again rulers of this dark world, or this think in terms of 1 John, where cosmos is used many times. It is a description of the fallen world system. You know, we're not to be of the world. That means of the world system. You know, where I'm sitting right now, there's trees all around me. There's birds out there. I see cars going by. There's little critters that go running by. We've got a big old gigantic groundhog that we're going to have to take care of here pretty soon, because he's got about 3 babies now, or she. And I'm looking out and seeing all this. This is part of creation. In the room that I'm at, there's flowers and vines, and I love a lot of green things. We're not talking about that being the world. When the word of God says the world, especially in 1 John and here in Ephesians 6, fallen world system, involving its philosophies, its educational, whatever is the ideology, belief systems, and direction that goes against God and away from God and keeps people from God. Now, the entities we're talking about today, they are the kind of ruler. They're the ones that help promote that in the world. They help promote the ideology. They help promote that critical mass. They help promote that sense of darkness. Now, they're operating in that darkness in the world around us, and that means moral and spiritual darkness. That's how the Spirit of God describes it. But these are the ones that I believe have engaged some of the biggest occult writers many of you know about. I believe that's who is behind the inspiration and leading of Albert Pike's writings in Morals and Dogma. No question in my mind, that's who this ruling entity in the world that is like a master, that becomes someone's personal master. If you got an occultist like Aleister Crowley, who had a specific master, a specific demonic entity that guided him and led him and opened up darker doors and more spirits and deeper rituals and more experiences on the dark side. You have Helena Blavatsky, who wrote The Secret Doctrine. She would sit for hours and hours and hours as the entity, a master, would guide her and direct her. I think one of the most telling is Alice Bailey. Let me give you a heads up about next week. Next week, I'm going to do a series from Monday to Friday on a book that is 100% Didache of Daemonia. It is the spirit-guided revelation that has come from one of these masters, one of these cosmocrators, one of these fallen world system masters that is ruling and guiding and taking mastery over even groups like in Tibet. No doubt among the Mayans there were masters. The Nazis had individuals and occultists that would call them the secret chiefs. Some today use the term, like Jim Mars in his book Psi Spies, non-human intelligences. These are the entities that seek to engage the NSA and bring communication, that guide dark projects, that give ideas and oversee those ideas and expand those ideas and develop those ideas. Well, with Alice Bailey, a little lady in the 1930s, an entity came, a real spiritual entity came to her and engaged her. Wanted her to do some writing. She wouldn't do it at first. Let me give you, I've got down here in my notes, by the way, each week, if you look at the series on shatterthedarkness.net, you'll see about a 10 to 14 minute mini cast overview the entire week. You'll see also a PDF file. Just click on that. And on the Wednesday night, April 13th, we're going over the notes there. And I've got four things I want to tell you about cosmocrators. These, again, on the demonic level, dark side level, they are highly operative in the world and help bring about rule or direction as they are acting as masters, engaging individuals. I believe when you do a study of the secret societies, it always backs up into some entity, a master that began to guide and lead. When you engage a lot of occult writers like Helena Blavatsky, like Alice Bailey, and many others today that talk about having a presence over them. Let me give you again the Alice Bailey, just some pictures on her material. She was engaged by an entity. The entity wanted her to write. She at first didn't, and eventually the entity convinced her to write. This was to be done pretty much, you know, excluded from everybody else. And again, she would be there in the room writing under the hands-on operating presence of one of these masters, cosmocrators. They would be guiding her, directing her. As a matter of fact, they would come to the point where they would be directing every single thought. It is described that the entity she called, and most people know, is called the Tibetan. Obviously, they believed this was an ascended master, a master. I believe the Spirit of God reveals this as a cosmocrator, as a master, a ruling entity in this dark agenda in a fallen world. They're operative in order to expand the agenda from individuals to groups to systems, cult systems, secret societies, and develop it to the point of a critical mass, to where the world is literally experiencing this critical mass, this thinking that is going on, and it is literally guiding. Now, I'm going to give you some quotes. This comes from a book called Global Shift, subtitled How a New Worldview is Transforming Humanity. And I'm going to give you one of the quotes in the beginning from others, you know, giving their thoughts about the book. Here's what it says. An essential guidebook for navigating our time. Referring to the author, they say, concisely articulates the elements of our collective emergence to the next stage of cultural evolution. The Aquarian Conspiracy comes of age in this volume with inspiring clarity. If you remember Marilyn Ferguson years ago, the book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, and again, masters, it would be cosmic chronicles that guided the concepts of the evolution of humanity and the development of a new order coming. And now this book is going to continue that. Here's another another individual that writes concerning the content of that book. Quote, a masterful overview of the shift in global consciousness and how it transforms our personal lives. Here's another one. Quote, a truly holistic view of changes now occurring from global to local and personal. In this book, the author combines rare insight into the multiple paradigm shifts due to humanity's expanding awareness with a comprehensive, sensible set of tools for personal alignment and action. Here comes another one. And the one that just quoted is written a book called Ethical Markets and Planetary Citizenship. Here again about the book Global Shift. It offers a roadmap for the new consciousness. A sweeping survey of the key ideas and books of the last few years that describe an astounding shift in paradigms. It provides a wonderful overview of holistic trends emerging in all fields, from quantum physics to transpersonal psychology, and includes practical tools for transforming yourself and creating a more sustainable world. Again, another one. Global Shift is a bold and practical work calling us to address our global crises at the level of consciousness. And it goes on and on and on. This is what I'm saying is the outcome of the work of Cosmocrators. A master sat down with a little lady in the 1930s. Her name was Alice Bailey. As she sat there, the spirit, after convincing her to take down all the revelations, and she saw the master as like an angel of light, like a light being, like a wise, ancient, well, ascended being, a powerful, knowledgeable entity that wanted to reveal to the world what is coming, what needs to be done. Now, I began to tell you next week I'm going to do a 5-part series in direct exposure of a book called The Externalization of the Hierarchy. Let me say it again. Quote, The Externalization of the Hierarchy. That was done in the late 1930s by Alice Bailey, where it is said that the master, the Tibetan, the entity, the Cosmocrator, guided and dictated every word and made sure, even in review of the writings, that it was down specific. We are talking about an inspiration method that involves dictation. Literally overriding Alice Bailey's very personality at times. It is said that this entity fused with her. And if you've ever read the material at all, and I won't even quote it, I will talk about it. I will bring exposure to it. I will mention content within it, but I'm not going to quote it. Because it is some of the most direct demonic didache I have ever encountered. Just like the Word of God is the outcome of the work of the Spirit of God. Three continents, three languages, 40 different writers, 1,600 years, and we have the most incredible attested to manuscript on a human scale beyond anything else on its level. But we have in every verse, in every line, in what I've experienced in 37 years, directly the living words of God. That the very Spirit of God is in and on the words. In contrast to that, you have demonic doctrine. Check out Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. If you're a New Ager, if you're somebody in that vein, if you're into the world of psychics and even 2012 writings and so forth, you've got to understand, yes, there's spirituality behind all that. Yes, there are entities and spirits that are guiding writings and sayings and engaging individuals to bring them the influence and the content that they desire, what they want to be brought out to the larger population. Let me go back quickly to Alice Bailey. I'll spend 5 days next week on what I think is one of the most demonically guided by one of these most likely cosmocrators. In her view, in their view, in many of those who have read, an ascended master, an ancient master. She ended up writing 21 volumes. Did you know that those 21 volumes are part of the foundational writings of the entire global New Age movement? Did you know that it has helped affect a global consciousness where there is thinking and belief and dreaming and expectation of a spiritually guided evolution of humanity to some level of deity? That's Luciferic doctrine. On a global scale now, not only written down, but then quoted, and then others have written more and have added to it, to where literally hundreds of millions of individuals are highly influenced. And we're seeing a synchronicity. What are the, quote, alienologists saying? That the entities in the sky, again, maybe cosmocrators, they are the masters that are guiding a rule, bringing about a consciousness in humanity's thinking because of what they're stating. They're stating it up there as entities engaging individuals, or as masters that engage occult writers. And you and I must understand, hundreds of millions, maybe some of you. This is true in Russia. This is vastly true in all of Europe and the Scandinavian countries. Deeply true of England and Australia and Canada, Vancouver, British Columbia and Victoria. Massively, the United States. And it all comes from this demonic array that is said to be battling the believers in Christ. They want to bring this counterfeit spirituality and even little by little bring it into the church to supplant the real revelation of the Spirit of God. Can you discern the difference? We're almost at the end of the hour, so I do want to tell you that we do have on the website, left-hand side, a number of courses. One of those is called ESP versus HSP, Holy Spirit Perception. Do you have discernment? Do you have perception? Do you know the difference? If you're listening right now, do you know what source of non-human intelligence presence that is operative in your life? If it's coming from the Spirit of God, God has led you to the living Christ. Do you know Him? Do you know the living Christ inside? He seeks you. He seeks you during this hour. He seeks to come into your life and bring you the work of God that was done at the cross. And there is nothing higher. Bringing you directly into relationship with God and the coming glorification. You either have the living Spirit of God dwelling in you through Jesus Christ, or you may have these other entities, these masters operating in the dark world system that we're living in. They're operating in leading it forward and guiding out of this massive volume that I was telling you about, Global Shift. Their writings are out there. The consciousness is out there. The believer in Christ will have to live strong in these days. Well, I hear the music, and I hear that it's time to come to a close. We love you tonight. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Good night.